Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only. You think I'm fucking with you? I am not fucking with you.
This is Closers, and I'm Kyle,
and this
and
I'm Bethany.
That's Bethany, and we don't have a guest this time because who needs a guest?
Apparently not us.
Not us. Yeah, we don't need a guest. You know, we just don't want to set the precedent of having like cool coffee kids on every time, because then you know what if we're not cool enough? I don't understand. You know.
I think we're probably not cool enough.
We're probably not that cool, yeah.
I think that was actually what happened.
Yeah,
this time.
Yeah. So Bethany's brewing coffee right now, like a fucking Amish person. She's boiling water on the stove, like a real herb, because the heating element went out on her temp stable kettle. So you know, we're gonna taste some coffee and see how that goes. We'll get back to you.
Well, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
I love how we chose to do this on the recording.
You know?
Like, the actual...
It's actually good, though, because, yeah. See, here's the deal.
Are you on airplane mode?
I'm on Do Not Disturb.
Okay. God, so professional.
I'm so professional right now.
So what are you brewing currently?
Right now, I am brewing a Colombia that I immediately forgot the name of from heart, because I have to bloom, and then I'll tell you.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. It's a Colombia La Palmera.
Oh, good.
Heart.
Okay.
I have a lot of friends who work over there at Heart, and when I was in Portland earlier this month. What?
I have a lot of friends that work over
so
at Heart.
Many friends at Heart. But so I was in Portland for about a week, a little less than a week earlier this month, and they were hospitable and invited me to come and say hey at the roastery.
Nice.
Dude, Heart's operation, slick.
Oh yeah, it's super clean. Yeah, it's the kind of roastery I want.
Yeah, everything was put together certain like really well.
Yeah.
Good systems in place, nice people who seemed happy doing their jobs, and that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, no, I mean obviously I haven't actually been, but it looks visually very appealing. Just a lot of space, very organized.
Very organized.
It's, yeah, it's kind of the jam.
Yeah,
so.
Nice people.
Yeah, 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 and I like their coffee. Their coffee's good.
Yeah.
Cool. So what you're doing a Kalita Wave?
Doing a Kalita Wave pour over. I'm doing a 1:16 ish ratio. That's my default.
Sure. 1:16 is great.
Unless I know that a roaster is dialed to a different kind of ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Then yeah. that's why when I get a new coffee I'll ask the roaster, like, okay, what's your typical brew ratio? Because that means I'm not asking for a recipe, but I am asking, like, so how are you developing solubility?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
That's important. Speaking of solubility. Solubility.
Speaking of solubility.
What a cool word. Yeah, no, I've had a bit of an interesting experience recently because I moved back to Reno.
Reno, Nevada. What do they call it? The biggest little city.
Biggest little city. Yeah, biggest little city in the world. Yeah.
For why?
I don't know. It's just, you know, Nevada's really interesting because they've changed their method of, like, attracting people so many times over the years. Like, it used to be, well, first it was, you know, I think it was silver prospecting. That was
right.
A big thing, like silver mining.
Uh-huh.
But then at one point, it was the fact that divorce was legal there. And it was one of the only states that divorce
really?
Was legal. Yeah.
That's so wild.
Oh, it's great. And so people would, basically, like, tourism developed around the fact that...
That you could go to Nevada to get divorced.
To get divorced.
That's so funny.
So there's the bridge on Virginia Street that overlooks the river, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Truckee River. And it used to be that... People would get divorced and then take their wedding rings off and throw it into the water. So there were so many wedding rings in there that people would go like,
funny.
Yeah. So people would go like, you know, fucking swimming and get wedding rings and then sell them to a pawn shop, which is just like the that most is, Reno thing.
That is like the coolest side hustle you could possibly ever right? have.
But it's also like the most Reno thing ever. Like just a pawn shop, just a sad pawn shop full of fucking wedding rings, broken wedding dreams.
Rings that are like retrieved from a fucking
like it's the most that Reno shit so I've ever heard. It's just like the most depressing thing. It's actually my buddy Jason told me this story, and I don't know if it's 100% true. Well, I mean, he's good at these sorts of things, so he probably knows. Tom Waits, the singer, he said one time that the saddest thing he ever saw was a pair of false teeth in a pawn shop window in Reno.
Oh my god!
Which, like, if you listen to... And if you listen to Tom Waits, like, that is, like, his world, like, the world that he writes about basically is Reno, Nevada. Just fucking... Ugh.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my... That's it for me. I'm gonna quit. It's over.
It's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Move back to Reno. But the point is, the elevation in Reno is 4,500 feet above sea level. 4,500. Okay. Yeah. So that's interesting because water boils at 204 there, and obviously all the coffee that I have is super light roast.
Naturally.
You know, natural and usually a natural. Even the coffee that I've been roasting is super light, which means that essentially, like, I'm having a really hard time extracting the coffee. So it's been an interesting thing because, you know, I mean, normally for an Ethiopian or something that's like a higher density coffee, I'll usually go from 207 to 209, you know, right. If I'm at sea level. So I can't even get close to that. And that's sort of why, like, a lot of the coffees that I've had in Reno, even the ones that I brewed myself, have been, kind of flat and sort of lifeless and just like not really there, and I realize it's because they're fucking under extracted.
That is so disappointing.
Yeah, it's a huge bummer. And
really frustrating.
And so I've been roasting there too, and you know what I'm sort of discovering is that if I want to roast in Reno and serve in Reno, I'm gonna have to roast a little bit darker than I'd want to,
right? Just to maximize solubility.
Yeah, so I can make it, you know, able to be extracted.
Right.
So,
well,
and that's
able
something
to be extracted at elevation.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that's something I'm not interested in. This is great for the podcast. It's clang, clang, clang.
I'm stirring up coffee.
Decant it.
I could decant
animal.
It.
That's too late.
It's not too late.
Decant it.
Yeah, whatever, Kyle.
You're like a wild animal. I don't know what you're doing right now. Boiling water on the stove. Jesus. This is some fucking caveman shit happening here.
Yeah.
And you're a U.S. barista competitor. This is
whatever.
Fifth in the nation.
Yeah,
number
whatever.
Five. Hey, that's something we can talk about. The last podcast, that's more than enough decanting. That's 6-7 times. It's fine.
I'm just trying to make sure that it's cool enough to actually drink right away now.
Yeah, sounds good. So I think this might be a new feature. We may actually like brew or at least drink coffee while we're recording the podcast. I think that seems like a thing we should do.
I think that's a thing we should do.
Yeah.
Also, is this decanted enough for you, sir?
It's decanted enough.
Are
decant
you sure?
Stop.
No. No.
Oh, it's the worst. I just want to. I sincerely want to apologize for the worst fucking joke in my history. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, man. All right. Here we go.
Here we go. Okay.
Oh, boy. What were we talking? Okay, yeah. So anyway, in a little bit of news, I left my job at Slate Coffee Roasters. I've been...
That's exciting.
Yeah, no, it's exciting, but I'm feeling, you know, those people are like family to me, so I'm missing everybody, and, you know, it was a hard decision to make for sure.
Right.
But you know, I it was a good time to kind of leave. Moved back to Reno, took a really super long drive. Like it took me like 3 days to drive home. I went through like Montana and Idaho. And
that's a good way to drive.
Yeah. I basically like skipped Oregon except for like 100 miles worth, which is
right.
Exactly what you should do with Oregon. So
yeah, whatever.
Just skip that shit. Nothing there worthwhile. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I don't want to get angry fucking tweets.
You're going to get angry tweets from me, actually.
Just like, say it to my face.
Yeah.
So I've been back in Reno for a minute here, doing some roasting, trying to figure out what's next. I think I'm going to, I'm kind of like, it's nice to be sort of wide open in the sense that like,
Anything can happen.
Yeah, like
anything can happen for you right now. Anything's possible when you're in Reno, Nevada, the biggest little city on earth, without any steady employment.
Yeah. Well, and Reno's so cheap and so easy, and there's so many resources there that, like...
Resources, I mean, really? Tell me.
Well, for me, because, you know, I have family close by, I've got a lot of good friends still. And so, I don't really, like... Jobs and opportunities have just been kind of falling out of the sky, which is kind of nuts. Mm-hmm. I found a place that, because I've been making root beer, so I found a place that might let me brew root beer. They were literally, I didn't tell you this because you were going to call me and then you didn't because you're a dick.
That's right.
You're a bad friend.
Yes, I am. I'm a terrible friend to you specifically. So tell me about the
root beer. Not just me though. I think I'm pretty sure we could solicit some opinions from the internet and they would probably back me up on this.
Yeah. Tweet me. Am I a bad friend?
Tweet at B-Harg.
B_Harg. Am I a bad friend? Make sure to tag in those tweets also. What is your handle? @moonlessxnightx.
It's moonxlessxnight.
That's the stupidest Twitter handle I've ever heard.
You know what? You're the stupidest Twitter handle I've ever fucking heard. I try to keep it normal, like the same. You know, I try to keep it consistent with my Instagram handle, but it wasn't available because it's too long.
Right.
So either change the Instagram, change this. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not good at this stuff. I'm basically a caveman just like pounding away on the fucking keyboard. So I don't understand. I don't understand how this shit's supposed to work.
You're a caveman on Twitter and I'm a caveman on brewing coffee, apparently.
Oh, God. Fucking like a peasant. I don't know what's happening here.
I am a peasant. I live in San Francisco, California. Therefore, I live in San Francisco, California, and I work in the service industry. So therefore, I am a peasant.
You're literally a peasant.
Literally, literally in 2017, I am like the surf class.
Yeah, for real. People just looking down their fucking
eyes. I am like the
at you.
Sharecroppers of God. 2017.
I do not miss working in the service industry in San Francisco. I can tell you that.
You know, it's actually fine.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that's what I'm up to. Oh, no, I was going to say, so I've been homebrewing my root beer, and I bought stuff to bottle it, and I'm going to actually put it out, which is cool.
You still haven't let me try any of it, and
you've been
saying you were going to let me try some of it until, like, since January.
I changed the whole recipe, that's why.
Yeah, but I want to try all
of
it.
But now that I don't work 70 hours a week with my day job, you know, I can actually do that.
Yeah, and you can actually hand deliver it to me here.
I could. I won't, but I could. So I pulled up to my house and across the alley, there was a bunch of like beer brewing equipment and I was like, what is, and it's in a random alley in the middle of nowhere. Right. It was like super random. So I walked over, I was like, what do you guys do? And they're like, oh yeah, we work for this local brewery. You know, this is our grain storage room. And I was like across like a random alley in like a sketchy alley in Reno. It's like really funny.
Yeah.
And then they were like, I was talking to them and they're like, you know, actually, people have been, cause I mentioned that I was brewing my root beer.
Right.
And, he was like, oh, that's funny. Like people have been asking us to brew a root beer here on, you know, like to brew on root beer so that we could keep it on tap at our restaurants and stuff. But we, you know, we don't really have time to do it. So.
Right. I mean, an R&D on a root beer recipe specifically, like that's a lot of work, and especially if you're doing big batch sizes, that's a lot of resources.
Right. And especially boiling it off, like actually brewing it. Like most people use like a concentrate, right? So being that I'm boiling off, you know, because I'm a masochist and I
and you love watching a pot of spices simmer for 7 hours.
Right, exactly. And it's and you know, like in a 50 gallon size, you know, it's like massive.
Just simmer it down from 50 gallons to 5.
Yeah, that'd exactly.
Be fine, right? Yeah, no.
Exactly. Well, it's most people are not like hand brewing, you know, from scratch their own root beer. And so they were really psyched on it and they're like, you should come in and talk to us and you know, maybe we could just trade time in the brew tanks and we'll just serve your product here. And I was like, how did that just happen in like 5 minutes? It was wild.
Right. Yeah. That is very wild. That's very exciting actually. So that would mean that your brand is like taken off.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, while I search for a day job right now, I'm fortunate because I was able to save up enough money to like live in Reno for a very long time because it's incredibly cheap.
Right.
Which is good and bad. I mean, it's the longest I've been unemployed. You know, because I've gone from one job to another for, like, at least the last 10 years, you know? So it's the longest I've, like, after, like, day four of being unemployed last week, I was, like freaking out because I just don't know how to handle it. So, yeah, it's been really interesting. But part of what I'm trying to focus on is kind of doing my own thing and sort of building right. my own stuff. And part of that is coffee right. roasting. Mm-hmm. So I believe I've decided to start my own roasting company.
That's exciting.
Yeah, like on a small scale. Right. I mean, you know.
But you are going to have to roast differently than you enjoy because you're trying to brew coffee at elevation, which
maybe,
is...
Maybe. I can roast there in cup in San Francisco. I don't know.
You could cup do at that. Sea level?
Like, I don't know.
I mean...
I don't want to... Like, that's sort of part of the argument for not... Because I'm only supposed to... I'm only going to be in Reno for a temporary...
Right. Well, I mean, and you could also roast one way in Reno and roast differently when you move.
Yeah, but I also... I mean, a lot of this right now would be, like, R&D, right. you know? So it doesn't make sense to do R&D for, like, a different just general, like, way of doing right. things.
Well, and I've wondered a lot about what it's like to roast at elevation, because I imagine it's different. Not yeah. probably not significantly different, but if your boiling point is that much lower, then what is happening inside the drum?
Well, so yeah, I mean, there's definitely a factor to do with moisture, mm-hmm. but I think it isn't terribly different. It depends on, it's more about how you're serving the coffee, right? So totally. I know like Denver has amazing coffee.
Yes.
There's like incredible yes. roasters up there, but I've had their coffee at sea level.
Right.
Right. So and I don't know how it translates.
I've only ever had Denver coffee like at sea level or, you know, a few hundred.
Right,
a few hundred
right.
feet.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I know that Boxcar, for example, they have like boiler flasks, mm-hmm. Where they're essentially like vaporizing the temp, right. but they're only going up to 202 with that.
Right.
Which is still, I mean, with agitation and with like I said, I've adopted the AeroPress. yeah.
You
which sucks because I'm not,
you
I'm not
how
using.
I feel about AeroPress.
Yeah. But it's full immersion. There's, you know, you
well,
can
and
agitate
if you're struggling
it.
To extract,
exactly.
then full immersion is
if everything
not the wrong choice.
Right. If everything's full immersion, finer grind size, and you're able to agitate it and you're brewing with pressure, right?
Right.
You're using pressure to extract. So right. so it's actually giving me a much better extraction.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a heartbreaker because I love my Chemex, so I can't really Why is that funny? You got something you want to say here, Beharg? At Beharg?
Yeah, don't at me about this one. But
oh, at her right now. I'm going to add her in a fucking second.
I think that Chemex is stupid. I generally think that cone-shaped filters
That's
are...
insanity.
No, it's
That's
not.
That's fucking insanity.
You know, just how are you extracting espresso? It's in a puck. It's flat. Why would you want to brew coffee different?
Because the Chemex is... the most classic pour over method for a reason.
Yeah, well, look, I have a Chemex sitting there on my shelf.
Yeah, you're using it to fucking make vinegar in. That
yeah,
doesn't
I am.
Count.
Yeah,
what a waste of resources.
It is not, because it looks nice.
What is your beef with the Chemex, really?
It's honestly, it's the cone shape, A. It's the way the filters taste terrible, even if you rinse them three fucking times, B.
Hard disagree.
I have Chemex filters right now. We're going to eat these on air.
I'm not eating... It can't be a thing where we eat the filter every time. Like,
why not? It's kind of... Why can't that be our bit? Why can't the filter be a shtick, Oles?
I'm not a shtick for you. Oh, it's the unbleached kind too. Jesus. Here we go. Okay. I think that it makes me really sad that you don't know enough about coffee to properly brew a Chemex. That bums me out. You took fifth place in the country and you don't know how to brew a Chemex. Why?
Because nobody ever taught me, A.
Well, I'll teach you right now.
I don't want to talk to you about this because, B, I get good results with flat-bottom filters every time.
Flat-bottom girls make the world go
round. Oh, my God, get out of my house.
No, like, okay, like, I won't. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. I'm sitting in Bethany Hargrove's kitchen right now as we record. So if it's a little echoey, I apologize. We tried to put some yoga mats on the ground.
Which
didn't really help. So sorry about that. Yeah, I just can't, I don't understand how you don't love a Chemex. Chemex is the most classic, simple brew method.
Why
it's
is
so
it...
hard to fuck up.
Okay, if it's so hard to fuck up, then why do I get poor results every time no matter what?
Do you have a bias?
Fair. Fair.
I mean, it's all about, I mean, if you brew it properly, you're extracting it properly, you're brewing it the right ratio, you keep the time, you know... under like 5 minutes for a 2-cup Chemex.
But tell
like,
me why you think a cone shape is better than a flat shape.
It's not about cone shape versus flat. Like, it's not about
because
the cone filter.
The grounds at the bottom, they're going to get more extracted.
Not if you're properly pouring.
No, they're going to get
no,
more
they're
extracted.
Not.
The water is running through them. It is running through them.
If
all
you're,
of it.
Listen, lady.
Listen, asshole.
No, it doesn't. There's no guarantee that it's going to be more over-extracted than a flat bottom. There's just no guarantee there. The way that the water, because think about this, okay. If you literally, and I can't believe we're taking up airtime to just argue about this. It's fine.
It's okay. We can cut it.
Yeah, it's fine. We're not going to cut this, by the way.
So if you think about it, where you're monologuing about your life.
Okay, let's no. That's important shit. Okay, so let's look at this, right?
We're looking at a Chemex filter right now.
All
right.
So this is a cone-shaped filter. You have this much coffee at the bottom.
You have this much coffee at the bottom.
Okay. So let's do that, and then look how much coffee we have.
Yeah, because all of it...
At the bottom of a flat bed. All of it
is going to be wet at the same time.
No, according to your theory, this coffee here on the bottom would be over-extracting, which would be more than would be if there was a cone filter, wouldn't it? You're making that face because you know I'm fucking right.
You raise a valid point. However, if you're keeping the water level consistent in your flat bottom filter, it means that all of the grounds are going to be wet for approximately the same amount of time.
Not the ones on the bottom.
The ones on the bottom are going to be wet for slightly longer than the ones at the top, just because of your drain out.
Right.
It's not as extreme as with a cone shape.
Disagree.
Yeah, whatever.
It's just physical space. We're just talking about physical space, right? The physical space on a cone filter is a fractional, it's less, the coffee that supposedly is being over-extracted is less space than would be on a flat bottom filter.
Why don't you just brew me a fucking Chemex right
I
now?
I will!
And tell me that you're going to make it taste better than this.
We're going to do it off the air, but I'll do it.
We can't, actually. I have my red wine vinegar in my Chemex.
Okay, well, I told you last time I would brew you a Chemex that blew your fucking mind, and I'll do it again. If you need me to walk
you
through and
never,
hold your hand...
You have never brewed a Chemex for me that blew my mind.
Have I ever brewed a Chemex for you, though?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that every time you came in to see me at work, I made espresso. Almost positive.
No.
Anyway, this podcast is now us just bickering like married people, so which is pretty, you know, pretty normal.
Pretty normal for
Yeah.
Our
so we're at we're at 23 minutes now.
Okay, a lot of that's gonna have to get cut.
Nah,
because
maybe.
We haven't even gotten to the relevant points.
Yeah, fuck the relevant points. Relevant points are whatever we decide them to be. Yeah. So anyway, for the first time in a long time, I am my day job is not in coffee, and that's strange. You too.
Yeah,
so a lot's happened in the last month.
A lot has happened in the last month. Taking a step back from coffee, I did a lot and learned a lot and, had a really, really great experience at Wrecking Ball.
Sure.
And now I'm taking a little break from coffee, a little breaky break.
A little sabbatical.
Yeah.
I've taken breaks from coffee a bunch of times. I think it's really healthy.
Yeah, I never have. I've been working in coffee, pretty much exclusively for almost the last 7 years, which is, my late teens and early 20s.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, before I, really hit my stride in my mid-20s, I should probably do something other than coffee for a bit. So
it's like, you don't want to settle down with your first boyfriend, right? Like,
right. Yeah. I mean, exactly.
You got to get out there and experiment a little bit.
Right.
And so your wild oats in other industries. I get it. It's cool.
Have you never heard that term? I can't believe that you just used that metaphor with me right now.
It's a great metaphor.
Oh, God. So, anyway, the point is...
I'm fist pumping. You can't see, but I'm fist pumping so hard right now. I'm feeling very good about that.
Anyway, the point being, done a lot in the coffee industry, really happy with the amount that I've grown.
Sure.
And, especially the last 3 years and the different positions I've held, educator, roaster, production manager, barista, like all of the above. But within that, I recognize cool, how much could I learn if I dipped my toes into other sectors of food and bev?
Totally.
And I've been interested in food for a long time. And so I thought about trying to get a job in a kitchen, but then I was like, well, I like talking to people.
You're a social beast.
I am a social beast. So I'm in training as a server at a New American Fast Casual restaurant here in San Francisco, California.
Nice.
And it's really great. I'm learning that a lot of the things I thought I knew about service and hospitality are really very shallow compared to what I have left to learn.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to learn, and a lot of it is a lot more than I would have thought about.
Totally.
If I hadn't taken a step away from coffee. So
yeah. No, I think it's healthy. It's probably weird, but it's healthy.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I mean, you don't want to burn out, I've burned out so many times on coffee.
Right.
Like, I thought I was done when I left Vivace, right. I was like pretty burned out. I wasn't in coffee for like a full year, which was the longest. Mm-hmm. See, I'm kind of a crazy person. I usually have like three or four jobs at a time.
You're a crazy person.
Yeah. So, and usually like in totally different fields, you know, right. It's really strange. So, so stepping away from Vivace, you know, I didn't think I'd get back into coffee, and then lo and behold, walk by Slate, they're doing a cupping, and I'm like, what's happening in there? And I had heard about them and knew that they were doing some exciting progressive stuff. So, and then, you know, that's been 4 years.
That's
so.
History.
Yeah. So I think I'm toying with the idea of doing some coffee consulting, but I'm pretty sure that coffee consulting is like Sasquatch. Like, people have said they do it. I don't think it fucking exists.
Yeah, well, ask me how many coffee people I know who consult and make hella money.
Yeah, well, again, I hear that people do it.
Yeah.
I don't really see any evidence of it, save like a couple of people.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it's interesting you bring that up because I also have been toying around with the idea of consulting myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like on one hand, I'm really happy to be sort of taking a step back from coffee and recentering myself for, you know, at least a little while. But on the other hand, like, should I be capitalizing on the recent success I've had? And, you know, the amount of exposure that I have right now, like, you know, call me. I'll teach you how to pour milk into cups.
Call us. We'll talk. No big whoop.
Call us. We'll talk. No big whoop. No big whoop.
I don't know. I think you have a lot. I mean, obviously I don't want this whole episode to be just me kissing your ass, but, I'm not that nice to you usually, so it's kind of nice to give you a little bit.
You haven't said a single nice thing about me yet today.
Privately, I say it. Privately, I was... That earlier conversation, I was so supportive and so, like...
You were very just, kind.
Yeah. I gotta keep my rep up.
Kyle told me to chase my dreams.
Go for it. You know, just get out there and grab it. Just, you can do anything you want. No, but I think you have a lot to offer, because obviously you've seen all sides of it now, right?
So
you've been in the back end, you've roasted, you know, you've done, and this really isn't supposed to be a commercial for us doing consulting work, but it's just kind of happening. But obviously, you know your way around baristing, like, you know, obviously, like, that is your bread and butter, you know.
But
know
I can't
shit.
Teach you how to brew a Chemex.
I can teach you how to brew Chemex. You can pay me a consulting fee, and then you can turn that around and teach other people.
No, since I told you how to build your coffee lineup the other day for free.
You told me the thing that I was already going to do.
Yeah,
so don't even start.
You didn't tell me that before the conversation started, so I gave you my best. I gave you my best work,
That's
Kyle.
What I've been telling people to do for like 3 years now when I'm doing wholesale training. I'll step up and be like, here's how you structure your coffee program. You know, you got your 101 coffee that your mom from Minnesota can drink and like, you know, classic, real classic coffee, kind of like this heart is a very classic Colombian.
It's
very nice.
this is like the kind of everyday drinker that I want in my house. I'm so happy to have it in my house right now.
I don't know about you, but I really want coffee that's good in the morning, but not phenomenal. Like, I don't want to drink an Ethiopian. I don't want to drink like in the mornings. I want something that's classic, delicious.
That's what I mean by everyday drinker.
Totally.
Because it's like first thing in the morning, I'm not looking for your like, I'm not looking for Brandon Paul Weaver's competition coffee.
Sedan Rey.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Why does he always get brought up in this shit? Also,
Stop. Just stop right there. Because the thing is, that coffee, really interesting.
Yeah.
One of the more interesting cups I've had this year.
Sure.
But it's super funky. It's super weird. Not what I'm looking to drink first thing in the morning. Because
you're also not a fan of, I mean, for the most part, you don't like naturals, which is crazy to me.
Well,
fucking Looney Tunes.
You know,
straight out of 96. That's fine. It's just an old school way of thinking about shit.
Okay, but anyway, the point of the story being, first cup in the morning, I want something like this, Colombia.
That's where you and I agree.
It tastes like coffee.
Totally.
What's the word Trish uses to describe a coffee that tastes like coffee? Integrity. That's not the word. I'll have to find out from her. But
I would just
word.
Say, yeah, I would just say classic coffee.
Yeah, no, but there's a specific word that describes a coffee that tastes like fidelity.
Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
I think. Damn it. I'm gonna text Trish.
You've been
right
out
now.
Of the game like 5 minutes.
I've been out of the game like 5 minutes, and I'm already having to text Trish like, "Hey, what's the
fidelity?" That makes sense.
I think that that's the one.
Well, and I sort of break it up. I don't know if you do this, but I sort of break it up into two different sections. Like, there's coffee that I want to drink in the morning, which is really classic.
Right.
Central Americans, even blends that are really like smooth,
balance.
Simple,
balanced.
I like a good blend. You know, I do. If it's a well constructed and well put together blend, I enjoy it.
I haven't had a blend in a long time.
I think, you know, the pendulum has swung to
not that I've brewed at my house.
Yeah.
I have not had a blend to brew at my house in a really long time.
I think the pendulum swung a little bit towards us having the idea that single origins are more interesting for good reasons. But I think most people are drinking, you know, single origins because they're are you texting right now?
No. my landlord is texting me wanting to come and pick up rent.
Okay, that's a pretty good reason, whatever. Yeah. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I think some blends, I think blends can be amazing. And I usually drink, you know, really classic, you know, straightforward. I call them 101 coffees because if you're trying to get somebody into specialty coffee.
I like it.
101 coffees, right? The bridge builder. Like, you can serve it to your aunt and she's going to be like, oh, this is delicious. I don't need to put cream and sugar in it. Mm-hmm. But it's really drinkable.
If she does want cream and sugar to put into it because that's how she naturally drinks her coffee, then it'll still taste good.
Totally. And it also is something where, you know, where it hits those nostalgia points. And I think nostalgia is something
Nostalgia points. Yeah. That's a good one.
You and me, we're on the same level. That. Oh, that probably just blew somebody's eardrums out. Sorry. We high-fived. I apologize. we're getting excited. No, but like, I think that's something that people don't talk about enough in coffee, right? Because you want coffee that tastes like the coffee that you grew up drinking because that's what you know it to be, right? So serving somebody who's just getting into specialty coffee, a natural Ethiopian or something, it doesn't taste like anything they've ever had. They don't know.
One hand, like, I was just about to circle back around to Natchez because there was a natural, like, early on in my coffee life that was very much a gateway coffee for me. So I was working at a spot in Portland called Oblique Coffee Roasters, and they had Mexico Nayarit that we were pulling as a single origin.
Love that coffee.
Yeah, and it was a naturally processed coffee, and I just never ever tasted a coffee like that before. I was just like, you know, when it was well extracted, it tasted like a strawberry creme brulee, you know?
Yeah.
Delightful. Yeah. Absolutely delightful. So it was important for me. A lot of the guests didn't dig it because they were like, this is weird. This is weird. And I was like, I understand that. And to be honest, now, today, not the kind of coffee I would choose to drink for the most part. However, I'm happy that coffees like that exist because coffees like that are the reason that I am where I am today.
Sure. Well, it's kind of that mind-blowing moment where you're like, whoa, coffee can taste a bunch of different ways.
Right, exactly. You know? It's like, I had no idea that coffee could ever possibly taste like this.
For sure. And actually, Velton served me, well, Velton roasted the first Mexico Nayarita that I had it at Neptune. Rip. My boy's at Neptune.
Rip.
Sad. It was like the worst tragedy of all time. I was just really glad nobody got hurt, but God, I can't believe that
happened. Worst anyway, tragedy of all time is hyperbolic.
Well, I'm hyperbolic. You know me.
I know.
Yeah.
That was really sad.
Yeah, it was really sad. But I had the Mexico Nayarita from that Velton roasted, my boy Velton, at Neptune, and it was great. And then obviously like Slate and had it, you know, and I've really grown to love, I think the coffees that blow my mind more often than not are naturals.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said, I want a really smooth, classic, drinkable coffee.
You know, coffee that's blown my mind the hardest recently is lacto-fermented coffees.
Yeah,
To be honest, I need someone to, like, call me because...
Yo, tweet at us.
call me, we can talk about it, no big whoop. But I want to understand more about why does the lactic fermentation make the coffee taste so different? Because aren't the bacteria in normal fermentation tanks lactic acid bacteria, or are they acetobacter? My question. Is it normal fermentation tanks acetobacter or lactobacillus? Because that's where the flavor difference is, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be. I think it has to be
acetobacter because the sugar content is so high.
Well, I know it's, I know they're doing anaerobic fermentation, right? So yeah, with lactic acid,
right, because
combination of the two. I think I'm not 100% on
because
that.
Because lactobacillus, like, it will not grow if there's too much air.
Exactly.
If I'm understanding things correctly,
I believe that's correct. I believe it has to be an anaerobic. And again, like, there's so many different types of fermentation that's coming out now that I kind of.
Well, I mean, there are only so many ways to ferment a thing, right? Yeah. I mean, so there's Koji fermentations. What? Somebody Koji ferment a coffee for me, and I will taste it, because that's going to be, like, the weirdest, most savory shit you've ever had in your life.
I don't generally love super savory coffees. That's
neither
not a flavor
do I,
profile.
But I'm just, like, in my mind, I'm going through the different ways of fermenting things that I understand. So Koji, lactobacillus, acetobacter, What's the bacteria that ferments things into alcohol? What's that one called?
I don't know, because I don't fucking care about alcohol.
But you care about fermentation.
I do. I'm just being a prick.
Yeah, you are.
Weird. Me? Never. I don't know. There's a lot of different... I read the... I think Olympia just did one that had like three different kinds of... There was like lactic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There were three different kinds of acid.
Yeah.
Some sort of... I don't know how they're using it to ferment. It's really something that is like kind of nothing about.
Well, it's not the acids that are fermenting. Well, right. It's the bacteria that are the precursors. Sure. The acids are the byproducts.
Yeah, totally. I can't remember what the other one is. Anyway, we're kind of... So moving on.
We haven't talked about Carly Rae Jepsen yet.
Okay.
You know what I think? This is really important. Okay. You know what I'm obsessed with?
What?
Like, the first, like, two beats of Cut to the Feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like a video game is booting up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And it's just so sparkly and beautiful.
It's so
I'm pretty
good.
Sure that Carly Rae Jepsen is the reason why we're so close.
I think that
was like that. Like, we were close before, but once we got on the Carly Rae level, like, we really got there.
Yep.
Yeah. I think if I were ever to record music, or to make music, it would be like basically like a Motion Side B. Such a fucking great record. Second Coming of Madonna. I don't know. It's beautiful.
Something like
so
that.
So 80s synth pop. I love it.
Do you know if she's still working with the guy from Blood Orange for her new record?
Dev Hines? I believe so. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And actually, my plan probably is that we're going to put Cut to the Feeling in its entirety here in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to listen to Carly Rae Jepsen, A, I fucking feel bad for you. And B, turn the podcast off. And then also unsubscribe, because fuck you if you don't like Carly Rae Jepsen. I'm just kidding. Please don't unsubscribe.
Hot takes. We need hot it. Takes. We need it.
Always with the hot takes. I mean, we had a couple with the Chemex thing. That was some cut. We really need Carly here for some
real hot takes. Yeah.
Carly has navigated from first she was a guest, but now she's just going to be a columnist, basically.
A regular contributor to the Closers Coffee Cast.
Yeah.
Tweet at me, call me, text me with questions for Carl's Piss, the segment which we are skipping for this episode.
Yeah. We need to get to that. Also, I'm really interested if somebody has tips besides finer grind size, agitation, full immersion.
And extended contact time
for brewing coffee at high elevations, please let me know. I'd love to hear from some people in Denver. Because like I said, I know Boxcar has like the boiler flask that are like vaporizing at a high temp. But still, I think they're only going to like 202. So usually, you know, like I said, especially the way that I roast coffee, like I need it to be higher temp. Or I just need to move back to sea level and just call it good.
That could also be a thing you do.
Maybe I'll just roast here.
Just roast in cup in San Francisco. Yeah. Live in Reno. That's fine.
That sounds fine.
4-hour commute. No big whoop.
No big whoop. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we end?
No.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thanks for sticking with us. I know this one's a little bit more rambling, perhaps. No, it's not more rambling than
the last
one.
Yeah, we can trim some stuff.
We're probably not going to. You know what you're getting yourself into when you listen to this podcast. It's basically me and Bethany and maybe somebody else tight.
Talking some shit.
Drinking some coffee. By the way, this Colombian's pretty killer. Mm-hmm. I like it. Heart always doing a good job.
Yeah, it's a nice coffee. Thanks, Ryan Cross, for the coffee.
Ooh, shout out. I like it. Yeah. I like that shit. Cool. Well, yeah, be on the look for some root beer and some coffee and some consulting work, it sounds like.
And also hot takes.
Hot takes. All right.
Closers Coffee Cast.
Thanks for listening to Closers. This one's a little longer than normal. We appreciate you listening.